These surveys begin precisely 45 minutes past sunset, which in late June in Southeast Alaska means we start our route at around 10:30 p.m. I team up with Sunny Rice, a marine advisory agent with the Alaska Sea Grant, and head out down Mitkoff Highway. At the beginning of the route, which will take us down dirt logging roads for more than an hour, we attach a magnetic cylindrical recording device to the roof of the car, running the wire into a handheld GPS tracker.
So, put this microphone on top of the car.
The window down, you can hand stuff into me if you want.
Okay, here's the cord, and this...
The survey relies on the recorder to take an acoustic snapshot of the bats, which use high-frequency sound to navigate and hunt for prey. Fish and Game then compiles all the snapshots to get a bigger picture of the region's bat population.
Okie dokie.
You get to figure out everything else while I drive.
Yes, okay. I got my pen.
With our very own Batmobile complete, Rice and I set off down the logging road, winding through national forest land in the middle section of Mitkoff Island, hoping to hear some bats. Tori Rhodes, the Fish and Game biologist overseeing the survey, says the main objective right now is to find the caves where the bats roost for the winter. Partly that's to better monitor for white nose syndrome, a fungal disease that affects roosting bats.
And since we only know of 10 bat overwintering roosts in the whole state, it's really hard for us to monitor for white nose syndrome, which is why one of our key things we're focusing on is locating more of these areas.
White nose syndrome has decimated bat populations across the country. So far, the disease has not reached Alaska, but it is creeping westward, and several cases have turned up in Washington state in recent years. Rhodes says the driving surveys will hopefully act as an early warning system if white nose syndrome does arrive here.
And if we were to see sharp declines in the number of calls conducted on surveys during times of the year when we would expect a lot of activity, that would be kind of a red flag for us and something that we would investigate further.
In Petersburg, all you need to do to sign up is stop by the library to fill out some paperwork and pick up a box of audio recording equipment. Chris Weiss works at the library and is the local project coordinator. She says this year they've had less participation than they've seen in the past.
We're really hoping to get people in, and I think part of the problem is that a lot of the people who've done it in the past are just not in town either any longer, or this year they just have not been in town during the times that we've needed them.
Out on the logging roads, Sunny Rice and I weren't hearing any bats. We did, however, count about a dozen porcupines. Then, just as I started wondering if we'd hear any bats at all, the unmistakable burst of echolocation clicks slowed down and rendered audible to the human ear by the recording equipment. Soon, they were coming in left and right. In the end, we heard more than 30 bats, or so we think. As the project continues, Fish and Game's Tori Rhodes said the next step is getting a general sense of where the bats overwinter. At that point, she says they hope to bring in scent-tracking dog teams to zero in on the exact location of the roosting spots. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Ari Snyder.